attend Children's Church, you are dismissed at this time. Well, this morning we conclude our teaching series entitled Our Testimony. So here's kind of a quick recap. You know, the beginning of a new season, you know, like the autumn season or a new school year or the beginning of a new football season. You know, the beginning of a new season can often mean a fresh start to our life testimony, to our life story. It might mean starting a new chapter in our school life, in our work life, or in a relationship. Or it might mean a new start when it comes to our personal or physical well-being. And whatever important new adventure God is starting in our lives right now or about to start, here's what I believe is going on. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul shared the following to inspire some new Jesus followers way back in the day. He said, beginning in verse 1, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." You see, whatever new direction or journey we may be starting, whatever change is about to take in our testimony, here's what I believe. If it's really from God, it's always going to be about walking in the way of love. Being a Jesus follower is not merely about having a better, meaningful life. It's about becoming someone who walks in love and lives a life of love as dearly loved children of God. And that journey begins when we answer God's call to follow him in Jesus Christ and become someone who's willing to sacrifice for others, just like Jesus did on our behalf, which is a story worth commencing and continuing to the very end. So our story, our testimony, must be filled with staying power, with perseverance as we seek to walk in love and live as children of the light. Young William Wilberforce was discouraged one night in the early 1790s after another defeat in his 10-year battle against the slave trade in England. Tired and frustrated, he opened his Bible and began to leaf through it. A small piece of paper fell out of his Bible and fluttered to the floor. It was a letter written to him by John Wesley shortly before Wesley's death. Wilberforce opened it and began to read it again. This is what Wesley had written to Wilberforce. He said, "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that detestable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be forsaken by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might." So Wesley's advice to Wilberforce in the 1700s was this: go on, move on, keep trucking in the name of God. Keep on walking in love regardless of the difficulty and roadblocks along the way. Continue as a child of light and allow God to add a chapter to your testimony, even though you may often feel like just throwing in the towel. So the call to follow Jesus, remember, is the the invitation to walk in love. And it's a testimony worth commencing and continuing to the very end. So if you brought a Bible or you can take hold of one, I invite you to do so and follow along as we take another look this morning at the prophet Elisha and the importance of persevering through times as we allow God to add a chapter to our testimony again and again and again and again as he works through us to do magnificent and wonderful things for others in Jesus' name. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get rolling. Let's get started. Throughout this series, we've been walking through the story of Elisha. And from all that we can kind of gather about Elisha, Elisha was pretty average person, pretty average, ordinary guy, until he met the great prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah was the most powerful and respected spokesperson for God in his day. And Elisha was just working on the family farm until one day, remember, Elijah comes up to Elisha and calls him to become his apprentice. 1 Kings 19, verses 19 and 20 says this. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there and ran after Elijah. So Elisha stops his work on the family farm and starts a whole new life as a prophet in training. Elisha commences what needs to commence, and he ceases what needs to cease. And today we're going to focus on a particular chapter in Elisha's life that has to do with a third aspect of our testimony that is so vital to what God wants to do in your life and mine. So let's continue the story by jumping ahead to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Here we read. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. So the time is near for Elijah to leave this world, but Elisha is not ready for Elijah to go. He's super attached. Elisha is super attached to his mentor, Elijah, and says, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. You can hear the love and respect in what he says. And the story goes on. Check out verse 3. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. Now, I love Elisha's response here. When the other prophets ask him if he knows what's about to happen, Elisha's response is just so human. Elisha says, yes, I know something that I don't want to have happen. It's going to happen. So will you just shut up about it? I love that response of his. So Elijah and Elisha traveled together towards Bethel. And in verses 7 and 8 of 2 Kings chapter 2, we read this. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. But then, as they made their way to the other side, the moment Elisha has been dreading actually happens. Verses 9 through 12, we hear this. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Now, there's a lot happening here. Chariots and horses of fire and Elijah going to heaven in a whirlwind. You know, it sounds like something out of an action adventure movie. But the bottom line here is that Elijah is now gone. Elijah is gone, and Elijah responds by tearing his clothes, which was symbolic of his heart being torn apart in grief and sorrow. The great man of God that he had followed and learned so much from was no longer with him. He was gone, no longer to be seen. And Elisha was left at the bank of the river in all his grief, in all his loneliness. The person he'd come to love and respect, whom he calls my father, is now gone. And Elisha was left on the riverbank. So let's stop for a moment and think about this. Have we ever been on the riverbank? Have we ever been on the riverbank of life? Have we ever felt alone and disappointed with a chapter in our life, a chapter in our testimony? Well, let's listen. Let's watch Becca Mengel share her God story, a story of how, while at the riverbank, she rediscovered Jesus as her friend, and a new chapter of walking in love began in her testimony. Let's watch.
My name is Becca Mengel, and I have been coming to Urbana United Methodist Church for a few years now. And Jesus is my friend. It hasn't always been the case. I was raised Roman Catholic. And Catholics typically in my day did not read the Bible. So the Bible was not really a familiar thing other than the scriptures that were shared during Mass on Sundays or a school Mass, because I did attend Catholic school my whole life. Between the time I was about 16, when my niece died of cancer, till I got divorced in 2000, church was kind of a hit or miss kind of a thing for me. I was a little angry with God at the time that my niece died. I couldn't understand why a five-year-old had to suffer from cancer the way that she did and pass away, and how grief-stricken my sister was. Those types of things have been throughout my life. Once I got divorced, something was missing. I felt abandoned. I'd been married 20 years. I thought my life was over, and started searching for something else. I did start going back to the Catholic Church with my mom. Did that until I moved down here in 2011. I started going to the Presbyterian Church in Columbus. There I started attending Bible studies and just studying more of the Bible, reading the Bible, doing a daily devotional with Bible scripture. God started speaking to me then. And I would wake up in the morning and have something heavy on my heart. And if I didn't act on it, it would be on my heart the next day and the next day and the next day until, you know, the 2x4 upside my head maybe act on it. And one of the things that God put on my heart was that I had to remove some people from my life. People that the relationships were unhealthy. I did that, and 4 days later, I met my husband. Got married, moved out here, and ever since then, service has been a part of my life, and I can't say that it always has been. I love working with people, helping them find jobs. I worked at that warehouse a few times. We've worked at the Gloria. We just are better people, especially me. I'm a better person for having Jesus in my life. I can now call him a friend. I have conversations. I've never done that before in my life. I was never taught that I can actually, you know, prayer is just a conversation with God. And talking to Jesus and talking to God is just, should be part of, you know, like talking to your friend or talking to your neighbor. It's all the same. It should be nothing different from that.
All right. We appreciate Becca allowing us to videotape her God story. And remember, we'll have more of these from different folks from our congregation in the weeks ahead. So while at the riverbank, Becca discovered a new chapter in her testimony. And what was true with Becca will be true with all of us, with you and me. The fact is, whatever God has started or is about to start in our testimony, there will come a time. There will come a time when we'll find ourselves at that riverbank of life. And the riverbank feeling comes when life's disappointments overwhelm us. It comes when the excitement and rush of the start has worn off. It comes when ceasing what we needed to cease was hard work and worth it, but now it's difficult with no end in sight. And this is, without a doubt, the hardest part of our testimonies. You know, when I was in high school, I ran track and cross country. Now, I was not a good distance runner, and I was an even worse sprinter and short distance runner. So by default, in track, I ran the mile and 2 mile events, and of course, in cross country, it was 3 miles. And as I look back at those days, I remember the rush of adrenaline at the starting line, and I remember the relief of finally crossing that finish line. But in between the start and the finish is what? It's the middle part. And if it wasn't for the middle part of running long distance, I might still be running. But what I remember about the middle is not good. Because in the middle of the race, it's painful. It hurts. It hurts a lot. My lungs felt like they were on fire. I didn't believe I was ever going to make it when I'm in the middle of that race. The middle part is the hard part. Some of us may remember the story of Rosie Ruiz from back in the 1980s. She won the Boston Marathon with a time of just over 2 hours and 31 minutes, which was amazing. A 25-minute improvement over her New York Marathon time. However, there was just one problem. 8 days after her win, race officials found out that she had actually jumped into a car after the race started, and then got out again about a mile before the finish line. Then, to make matters worse, get this, it turns out that in the New York Marathon, she hadn't run that whole race either. In New York, she'd taken the subway during part of the race. Rosie Ruiz didn't mind starting, and she sure didn't mind finishing. She just did not like that middle part, which is the hard part of the race. And here's where I'm going with this. To finish the testimony of our lives well, we've got to muddle through the middle. We've got to muddle through the middle. And unfortunately, like many long distance runners, the middle is where many of us don't keep moving forward. You see, maybe our testimony just feels long. Maybe our story just feels long. It doesn't seem to be moving quickly enough or fast enough. We expected God to do more in our lives, in our stories, in our testimonies. We thought there'd be more excitement in our journey with the living Christ. And so we maybe abandoned the testimony. Maybe our testimony got off to an awesome start. I mean, the clouds opened, the angels sang, and it was so awesome in the beginning. There was a rush and excitement when we first decided to follow Jesus. We never felt more alive than the day we chose to be baptized. But somewhere in the middle, the testimony, the story of our lives began to bog down. It didn't go the way we had hoped it would go. And whatever the reason, it's in the middle of our testimony that we can feel like Elisha on the banks of the Jordan River, lonely, disillusioned, and feeling like just throwing in the towel and not finishing. So as our series wraps up today, I want to offer first a warning. Here it is. With what God is doing in our lives now, or is going to be doing in the future, there's going to come a point in our stories, in our testimonies, when we're going to want to just throw in the towel and give up. We're going to be tempted to not let God finish what He started within us. We're going to want to quit. And I'm not saying this might happen or will likely happen. I'm saying there will come a time in our stories, in our testimonies, when we just don't want to do it anymore. We want to throw in the towel and just plain stop. We're going to want to give up on our sobriety. We're going to want to give up on our marriage. We're going to want to give up on that friendship or dream or mission that God has placed in our hearts and lives. We might even want to give up on God Himself. For whatever reason, we're going to get to that riverbank of life and feel like not finishing what God has started in our lives. And some of us might be on that riverbank right now. And that's why in this next part of Ephesians chapter 5, after mentioning all sorts of stuff that can undo our testimonies, the Apostle Paul had this to say in verses 15 and 16. He said, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Now, I know that sounds a bit threatening, the days are evil, but Paul's not trying to scare us. Paul's trying to warn us. You see, the stakes for you and me are high. The stakes for you and me are high. The stakes are high because remember, God has called and set us apart to be His hands and feet in the world around us. The stakes are high because God does magnificent and wonderful things through ordinary people like you and me. The stakes are high because in order for God to reach people far from Him, He needs ordinary, simple people like you and me to be that instrument whereby He works through. We're the conduit where His Spirit works through to reach and enlarge His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the stakes are high because God's work gets done by His band of Jesus followers. The stakes are high. The stakes are high. The stakes are high. And there will be all kinds of things working against us, and that means that sometimes we just have to muddle through the middle. So turn to somebody, whether you know them or not, and say, you got a muddle, baby. Tell them. Find somebody, you got a muddle, baby. Life is about muddling through the middle. We got to muddle, baby. And the fact is, starting is great, and ceasing stuff that we need to cease is great too. But for our testimonies, our stories, to go where God wants our testimonies to go, we need to do more than commence and cease. We need to continue. We need to stay. We need to stay on the path. We need to stay on course. We need to stay right where God wants us to be to do His work in the world. When we're on the riverbank and there's pressure to give in, give up, or do something else, we simply need to follow the wisdom of King David when he wrote these words in Psalm 27. He said in verse 14, stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. And throughout 36 years of pastoral ministry, I've seen many dramatic transformations. I've seen people overcome addiction and all sorts of personal challenges, only later to see them throw in the towel and give up and go back to the old way of life, to go back to that old story, that old tape, that old testimony. And the new testimony never gets to the end. In every one of our testimonies, we're going to hit the middle. We're going to hit that ugly, difficult middle. We're going to be on that riverbank of life, and we're going to want to throw in the towel and give up. But when we find ourselves there, not if, when we find ourselves then at that place, at that riverbank, don't do it. Don't give up. Don't do it. Muddle in the middle, baby. Just keep rolling. Keep on keeping on. Stay with God. Because God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine. So I've warned you about the middle. I've warned you about the middle and the danger of giving up. And now I want to offer some encouragement. I obviously don't know all that's going to happen in your stories and your testimonies, but if your testimony is about walking in the way of love and following Jesus as dearly loved children of God, then I have some good news. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it becomes in the middle of our story, no matter how discouraged or alone we may feel at that riverbank of life, our Heavenly Father promises that He will never, ever, ever leave us. We will never be alone in our testimony. From the start to the very end, we can count on God to always be there for us. Elisha stood at the riverbank, scared and lonely in the middle of his testimony. Certainly he had to wonder if maybe God had left him too, just like his mentor, Elijah. But after Elijah left, Elisha took that same cloak and struck the water with it. And God miraculously divides the water, showing Elisha once again that he was with him every step of the way. And I believe that God is saying to us what He said to Elisha when he was at that riverbank, do not give up. Do not even think about it. Do not give up. I'm still with you. Let me finish what I started in you. So don't give up. Stay with your marriage. Stay with your recovery. God is saying, stay with that dream I placed in your heart. God is saying, stay with me, stay with whatever I'm doing in your life. Do not even think about throwing in the towel. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on God. Stay with Him, because God will never, ever give up on you or me. Ignacy Jan Paderewski, the famous composer and pianist, was scheduled to perform at a concert hall in the United States. It was an evening to remember. black tuxedos, long evening dresses, a high society extravaganza. Present in the audience that evening was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son. Weary of waiting, he squirmed constantly in his seat. His mother was in hopes that her son would be encouraged to practice the piano if he could just hear the immortal Paderewski at the keyboard. So against his wishes, he had accompanied his mother. As she turned to talk with friends, her son could stay seated no longer. He slipped away from her side, strangely drawn to the ebony concert grand piano and its leather stool on the huge stage flooded with blinding lights. Without much notice from the sophisticated audience, the boy sat down at the stool, staring wide-eyed at the black and white keys. He placed his small, trembling fingers at the right place and began to play chopsticks. The roar of the crowd was hushed as hundreds of frowning faces pointed in his direction. Irritated and embarrassed, they began to cry out, "Get that boy away from that piano! Who'd bring a young boy like that to a concert like this? Who's that boy's parents? Somebody stop that boy. Get him away from that piano." Backstage, Paderewski overheard the sounds out front and quickly together in his mind figured out what was happening. Hurriedly, he grabbed his coat, rushed toward the stage. Without one word of announcement, he stooped over the young lad, reached around both sides, and began to improvise a counter melody to harmonize with and enhance the boy's rendering of chopsticks. As the two of them now played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, "You're doing great. You're doing awesome. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're absolutely spectacular. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep playing. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't quit." And so it is with you and me. As we go through life, we are often met with many challenges. Some of those challenges may push us to the edge. As we go through life, we'll find ourselves in the middle of our stories and feel like just throwing in the towel. But about the time when we're ready to give up, along comes the Master, who puts his arms around us, who leans over us and whispers in our ear, "You're amazing. You're awesome. You're unbelievable. Don't quit. Don't quit. I got a great plan for you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on. Just keep muddling through the middle, baby. Keep on. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. You are a child of God. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep on trucking." And he improvises on our behalf, providing just the right touch, just the right grace, just the right insight, just the right provision at just the right moment. You see, God is with us. And because he is, he will help us. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will encourage us. He will empower us to do his will in the world. He will always provide just what's needed at just the right time. So never, ever give up. Keep on. Keep on. Just muddle through the middle, baby. Just keep going for Christ's sake in the world. So as we close this morning, I want to invite us to make our chair, our pew, an altar of prayer. And as we spend time in personal prayer today, let's ask ourselves an important question. Let's ask ourselves, where in my life, where in my story, where in my testimony, where in my life right now do I need staying power? Where in my life do I need staying power? Where is that riverbank in my life where I'm thinking I just might throw in the towel? Where do we need God's perseverance and staying power? And as we reflect on that question, remember, God is with us to provide all the grace and strength we need to keep on keeping on. God is with us to provide all the staying power we need. God is with us to help us muddle through the middle. God is with us to help us persevere through times that are difficult and hard. As we allow God to add a chapter to our testimony again and again and again, while working through us to do magnificent and wonderful things for others, in Jesus' name. Don't give up, says the risen Christ. I'm with you. Together, all things can happen. Just put your hand in mine, and we'll muddle through the middle. Together. Just keep on keeping on. Let us be silent now before God.